Okay, thank you. Anyway, yes, so good morning, good noon. yes, so this is going to be a fiery message. So put your seat belts on and hang in there. It starts out a little bumpy anyway, but it ends up really awesome and nice. So, okay, let me get going here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Just have your way. Speak by the power of your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Give us ears to hear. And I just want to invite you, as the Lord is speaking, just receive from the Lord, receive impartation, stay engaged with the word that's going forth. All right, so what the Lord wants to speak to us about today is about Jesus cleansing the temple and everything that already happened. Connie, would you mind coming back up on the keyboard? It just always kind of helps set the atmosphere. Everything that's we've been singing and everything, the prophetic word, oh my gosh, so already everything is kind of just falling into agreement. So I'm going to start out by reading several scripture references just to kind of set the stage. And I'm going to try to read really fast, so, you know, try to tune in to catch the meat of it. In John, starting with John chapter 2, verse 13 through 21, says, "The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold pigeons, 'Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade.' His disciples remembered that it was written, 'Zeal for my house will consume me,' or 'Zeal for your house will consume me.' So the Jews said to him, 'What sign do you show us for doing these things?' Jesus answered them, 'Destroy this temple.'" Oh, that sounded kind of Spanish. Destroy, okay. "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Got that? Temple of his body. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." Matthew 21, 12 through 14. "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." And then down in verse 23 of the same chapter, "The chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?'" I want to point out right here that Jesus showed himself by his actions of what he did in the temple, that he has authority in his house to drive out whatever doesn't belong there, and to heal the sick and the lame and the blind. That was all linked within the same kind of passage here. Isaiah 56, 7, "These," talking about his servants that love his name, "I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples," or all nations. So, you know, the emphasis for me with the scripture has always been on, you know, my house shall be a house of prayer. Anybody else kind of always kind of got it? Like, okay, the emphasis is on house of prayer. Like, you know, we're supposed to pray a lot. But this week, the Lord really emphasized the house, not the prayer, but the house, and specifically the house being his house, because he said, my house shall be called a house. And then also the point that it's a house for all peoples, for all nations, a house of prayer for healing for all peoples, for all nations. And, you know, he says, in that house, there's joy. So it's not a burdensome thing. It's not hard work. It's joyful. It's a joyful thing to be in the house of prayer for healing for all peoples, to be part of the house. So last Sunday, you know, we were singing the song, oh God, rid us of this modern, superficial Christianity. And then also there was a prophetic word that came forward. God was saying, every other god is an idol that cannot hear, that cannot, you know, see, that cannot speak. He was saying, I am the living God. These other gods are but counterfeits. They're not real. You know, I'm the only living God, and I have life-giving substance on my table to give to you to feast on. And then he began to speak about who he is and what he has to give to us. So, but zeal and passion for his house has consumed Jesus. And he has authority to come into his house to cleanse and to overturn the tables and drive out what is not of God and what does not belong there. And so he says, you've made it a den of robbers. And in Jeremiah 7, 8 and through 11, it says to his people, he's speaking to his people, the nation of Israel, behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods? How many of us know that God is a jealous God? If we go after other gods, ooh, he doesn't like it. We were singing about that song today. Anyway, will you go after other gods that you have not known and then come and stand before me in my house, in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we're delivered, only to go on doing all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? He's asking. Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. Like I said, it's a little bumpy here. Keep your seatbelt on. This is, you know, he's speaking to the nation of Israel here. But so, you know, a couple of questions he has for us today is, and, you know, since we don't have, you know, sacrifices, you know, on the tables, you know, in the temple anymore, you know, so that's not the issue. But he's asking today, you know, what tables are set up in our house? In our temple, what's on these tables? Is it of God, or is it set up by self? The word about self this morning, okay, right here. Is it set up by self? Is it selfish ambition, self-confidence, self-reliance, self-sufficiency? Is it filled with worldly pleasures? Is the table set up by a religious system or a world system, the world system, you know, all the culture of the world system that we're bombarded with, our minds are bombarded, are we affected by that? What substitutes and counterfeits have we settled on or settled for? You know, maybe drugs or alcohol or food or workaholism or social media or, you know, any other kind of entertainment. You know, what have we placed on the tables that we're feeding on? What's robbing us of the goods that Christ came to give us? You know, he says, you've made it a den of robbers. And he says, stop the steal. This was a prophetic word, part of a prophetic word earlier this year where he said, stop the steal. And he wasn't talking about the votes. But, you know, we know it's the devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, stop the steal. So what are we consuming? And is any of what we're consuming us? Join with me in this prayer if you're bold in us. O Lord, let your zeal for your house consume you. Jesus, let your passion for me consume you. Turn over every table in me that's not from you and drive out all the worldly substance that I have been consuming that has consumed me. Give me the same zeal and passion for your house, the fire for your house that you have, and be a house of prayer for healing for all people. You agree with that? That's a dangerous prayer. You're going to get some fire. So Jesus was pushing against a larger system of oppression and against a religious structure in the temple. And he said, get these things out of here, right? When he went to go cleanse the temple right before the Passover. So this old thinking, this old structure, this old system, which, you know, kind of, for example, you know, the church, when we're thinking the church is the building where we, the church, meet and operate, that's an old system. That's an old religious tradition mindset. And in Old Testaments, you know, the inner court was only, you know, open for Jewish people. The heathens or Jewish non-Israelites were not allowed to go into the inner court. They were only allowed to go to the outer court in the courtyard. Versus, you know, a new paradigm and a new structure and a new system and new way of thinking of now, you know, we are the temple. We, the body of Christ, his house, his church, the kingdom of God. And, you know, Jesus said, you know, you tear that old temple down, in 3 days I'm going to rebuild it, you know, which he's speaking of his body, you know, the death and the resurrection. So the temple represents the presence of God, where God is present with humankind. And this is what his zeal and passion that consumes him is for. The temple, which is within us, which represents the presence of God with us, Emmanuel. That's what his zeal is for. His house of prayer, communion with God, coming into union, communicating and abiding in him every moment of the day. A house of his presence and prayer for healing for all peoples, for all nations. So that's also talking about evangelism. When we're talking about a house of prayer for all people, that's in healing, it's for all nations. That's, we're talking about evangelism. So somehow we have missed it, you know, when we used to think a house of prayer is only about praying, us praying. So it's more than that. It's about evangelism. He wants all to be saved, okay? So this is the revival we're coming into. So we're on the brink. You know, we can already feel it. We're scratching the surface. Revival is here. It's at the door. Anyway, so what is robbing us? So what's robbing us? So there's goods on the table of the Lord in his house. So what's robbing us? 2 weeks ago, I discovered that I had an infestation of bed bugs. Yeah, gross. Anyway, so I own a little condo unit at the beach, and I do Airbnb rental. And it's a big building, kind of almost like a hotel. It has 5 stories. Anyway, they've been doing renovations for a couple of months, so the whole back part of the condo units, which was 3 stacks, were opened up, you know, down, and they removed everything down to the studs, you know, redoing balconies and all that. So everything was open and exposed to the elements. So it could have been that something kind of crossed over this way, or somebody actually, you know, brought something in. But anyway, my point is, it wasn't my fault. I didn't do it. I didn't do it, you know. However, you know, playing the victim didn't solve the problem. I had to take care of, I had to take responsibility to get rid of it. After all, it's my house. It was my house, and I had to deal with it. So, yeah, those boogers, I stayed there after all the renovations because you couldn't even live there while the, so I stayed there, and they bit me and triggered an allergic reaction all over, agitating me. However, what that did was it started bringing awareness that there's a problem so that I could take care of the problem. Now, you know, I wouldn't want to expose anybody else, you know, to the same infestation to, you know, have them take it home. So I was ready and eager to take care of it right away. So the point is that, you know, if we get triggered by someone or something and we have a negative reaction, like anger or rejection or whatever else, you know, we have to realize that it serves us to bring awareness that there is a problem so that we can take actions and take the responsibility to deal with that, to get rid of it in our own house and not pass it on to someone else's house. Does that make sense? Yes. Instead of, you know, getting angry and blaming. Anyway, so, prophetically, kind of is a picture of rest and intimacy. And what's stealing our rest and our intimacy with the Lord? What's bugging us? What kind of bed bugs are bugging us, biting us and agitating us? You know, we have to get rid of blaming and fault-finding and anger and unforgiveness concerning what others have done to us. You know, offenses, wrong thinking, and lies that we've believed. Victimhood will always blame the other person for the problem that we're dealing with, but it will never resolve one's problem, okay? That's really important to get that understanding. It keeps us stuck. We have to get to the bottom of what's bugging us. So bed bugs are creatures I have learned. I've never dealt with them before, so I did a lot of research and I, you know, listened to professionals that told me. Bed bugs, are creatures of the darkness. They hide in dark places and come out only at night when we're in a REM cycle sleep. So this is when we excrete a certain odor, which is kind of their cue that it's time for dinner and the meal is on the table, meal is ready, and they come out, you know, out of hiding. They come out and they come to the plate and they take a bite and they suck your blood. Okay, yay. So anyway, so I think this whole picture is kind of representing the sleeping church. Who did we sing something about? Wake up. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wake up. Right. It's time to shine. Anyway, so I think this is a picture of prophetically of, Lord, do I have to go through stuff like that to get a prophetic message? This really sucks. Sorry. Yeah. Right. Sorry. It did. Anyway. It represents the sleeping church. I mean, you know, easy prey. Easy prey. The sleeping church don't even realize it. They don't even, you know, even if there is agitation, they don't even realize what the heck is going on, you know? All right, that's the sleeping church, easy prey. However, you know, when we're in a REM cycle, this is also when we dream. So I think it also represents the prophetic church. You know, when we're in a, and I feel like we as a church are in a prophetic cycle. We're having dreams. We're having visions. We're getting prophetic words. We're getting direction. We're advancing. So I feel like this is also when these bed bugs attack. They come out and they bite us and they bug us and they agitate us and, you know, irritate us, trying to discourage us and trying to keep us from moving forward and, you know, trying to hold us back. So when I first suspected, you know, that I might have bed bugs, I searched everywhere. I searched my mattresses, you know, the edges and the corners and underneath and all that, but I couldn't find any evidence of anything. But I did not look underneath the bottom of the box spring. I mean, I didn't have the strength to just, you know, try to pull all of that up. I didn't look underneath the box spring. So I needed someone that knew where to look and what to look for. I needed a professional company to kill these bugs and their thousands of eggs of offspring that they produce and reproduce. Anyway, so the method of this professional company was high heat. They come and they bring heaters into, you know, the whole place, and they heat it up to like 140 degrees, and they, you know, turn all your mattresses upside down and inside out and all that. But anyway, this high heat kills the bugs and their eggs. And then I had to take all my linens and things. I had like 7-8 big, large black bags full of stuff that I had to haul to the laundromat and wash it on high heat and then dry it in the high heat and all of that kind of stuff. So a lot of work. And then I, you know, after it was all done, I did a good deep cleaning and everything and vacuumed everything and mopped everything and wiped everything down. Anyway, so deep cleaning house. Anyway, so there was a high, this was really expensive. And I think last week I shared with you guys, you know, how all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord, and how last time what I was talking about was a mistake I made. It's like, oh my gosh, and that was high price, and I had to forgive myself because I beat myself up. This time wasn't my fault, and I still had to pay a high price. I'm like, what? Anyway, so but the message is, you know, sometimes you just have to pay a price, and there is a cost, you know, and it's okay. It's worth it. The cost is worth it. Anyway, so the point here is that many people try, you know, they try getting rid of bed bugs on their own with chemicals, you know, and in a not professional way, and they fail because with chemicals you can't kill the bugs and the eggs all at the same time, and you have to keep coming back several times, and if you don't get them all, you know, again, they reproduce so fast, you got more, and then they just come again. So the point is, you know, sometimes we just need some help from a mature brother or sister that knows where to look and what to look for and how to kill that mess and cut it off all the way down to the next generation. We don't want to pass it on, you know. We don't want more offspring and more offspring, you know, that's going to be passed down to the next generation or for cycles on and on. So Jesus is turning up the heat, y'all, and we're coming into a season of fresh fire. We sang last Sunday, I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be on fire. I want to be on fire. I can't sing that good, but anyway. Anyway, so here we go, Malachi 3:1 through 3. Behold, I sent my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts, that lion of Judah. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can endure the heat? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire. Okay, that's the high heat right there. And like fuller's soap, all the washing and cleaning and vacuuming I had to do. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi. That's us, the priesthood. Did we sing something about priesthood today? The priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. And he will refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. So the Lord is turning up the heat of his refining fire. And this can come through various kinds of hardships to bring the dross to the surface so it can be seen and it can be removed. It can come through friction in relationships where we're agitating one another, you know. But if you let Jesus into the picture and you add his fuller soap, you know how in the old days you took two pieces of cloth and you rubbed it with each other, and that's how you washed clothes. Anyway, we can, you know, if we add the grace of Jesus and the spirit of Jesus, we can, you know, allow the friction in our relationships to purify one another. If we choose, you know, not to blame, shift blame, or be the victim and allow the fuller soap to come wash us. Anyway, then there'll be refining and cleansing. Or, you know, if you're willing, it can work like iron sharpening iron. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, Proverbs 27, verse 6 says. And in the Passion Translation, it says, you can trust a friend who wounds you with his honesty. But your enemy's pretended flattery comes from insincerity. That's a really good word. This is a now word for us to kind of remember. You know what? We really need to appreciate one another's honesty, speaking the truth in love, and not get offended. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know, sometimes we can't see our own mess. Like, I needed the professionals to look underneath. They knew where to look and what to look for. I didn't know, you know. I needed the help of a professional. Sometimes we just need the help of a faithful friend, a faithful brother or sister that helps us to see, you know. And then we can, you know, Bible says, pray, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another and be healed. Anyway, so I'm just curious, how many of you guys have been feeling that the heat has been turned up, the fire has been turned up, and how many of you guys feel like you've been experiencing more hardship just within the last couple? Would you raise your hand? I really would like to see. Okay, that's about half of us. Okay, all right. Well, those of you that haven't yet, well, get ready. You're not going to be excluded. Sorry. I'm not trying to curse you or anything like that. But, huh? But I'm saying this to prepare you, because it says, who can stand? Who can stand when the heat gets turned up? This is when we're going to recognize, you know, our firm foundation, our trust in the Lord. And so when this stuff happens, whether it's hardship, I mean, sickness, I mean, you know, whatever it is, or relationally, I just want you guys to be aware that when this stuff happens, that you're not going to get angry and you blame and you know, shrink back or whatever, but that you'll allow it to come to the surface, you know, and that you will take responsibility to clean that. We, I'm in this. I'm already doing this. I mean, God is just really doing it to me. Anyway, but, you know, that we will be willing to allow it, you know, and look at it and present it before the Lord to let him cleanse it, because he's the one that comes into the temple to cleanse the temple. But we have to be willing. That makes sense? Okay. So I have 3 children and 3 grandchildren, just in case any of you guys don't know that. And when my children were little, I used to sew their clothes. So I found out that, hey, you can buy one pattern, and this one pattern can be several sizes. So you just kind of fold the lines back, you know, if you want to use the smaller size. And then the next year, if they outgrow the one pattern, you can, you know, sew a bigger size, or if it's 2 years or whatever. So, you know, I found a nice pattern that I liked that was easy to sew. I'm like, whew, I'm holding on to this one for years. So for years, I used the same pattern basically to make the same kind of style clothes, but I just used a new material every time. So my kids, when they were little, I mean, they loved it. Oh, yeah, new clothes. We didn't have a bunch of new clothes. I mean, we kind of were paycheck to paycheck, you know, and this was actually a way for me to save money. So when my kids kind of got in the preteen stage, you know, and they got to where they were, like, more conscientious about, you know, the way they look and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, ooh, all their friends are wearing brand names. And, you know, they finally kind of woke up and they became aware. And they're like, wait a minute. We always wear the same kind of style clothes, you know. And then it's like they didn't like it anymore. They didn't want to wear my clothes anymore, you know. I kind of hurt my little heart, but I got over it. So, likewise, this is what the devil does to us. He uses the same cycles and the same patterns, you know, past lies and you know, that we've believed and things like that, but wrapped in a new, you know, material. So you can't identify it. You think, oh yeah, this is not the same than this last thing that I was dealing with. And he tries to trap us and to close us with a false identity. And, you know, again, like I said, you know, finally my kids woke up and they didn't want to wear my stuff anymore, and they wanted a brand name. And so likewise, when we mature and we wake up to the tactics and the patterns and the cycles of the enemy, you know, we are not going to want to put on his stuff anymore, his labels, his identity that he tries to portray upon us. But we're going to, when we get mature, we're going to want to put on Christ. Clothe yourself with Christ. And that's an awesome brand name for us, you know? Yes. Hallelujah. Psalms 23, 1 and 2. Yahweh is my best friend. How about that for a brand name? Yahweh is my best friend. I'm putting that on. I'm branded. We're branded with the blood of Jesus. We're branded with the name of Jesus Christ. Yahweh is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. Ah, I feel better already. Peace and calm. So then, let's get back to tables and the house. So later on in verse 5 and 6 of Psalms 23, it talks about, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I don't know about you, but I don't want to eat from any other table except the table of the Lord, the table that the Lord sets before me, especially in the presence of my enemies, in hardship, in difficult times. Psalms 25:2 says, "Oh my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." In the presence of my enemies, he anoints my head with oil. He anoints my head with the oil of Christ. I've put on Christ, the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Till my cup overflows, and his goodness and his mercy overtake me and chase me down. And I dwell in the house now and every day and forever in eternity. So Lord, rid me of this modern, superficial Christianity. Cleanse your temple, Lord. Overturn every table that is not from you. Right now, we are 2 weeks before Passover. This whole scene is happened right before Passover when Jesus came to cleanse the temple. Also, this is a time 2 to 3 weeks before Passover. This is when Jewish people cleanse the house of leaven. They go all through the house looking for leaven to get it out the house. They're commanded to get the leaven out of the house. And they wash and sweep clean the house. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 through 8 in the Passion. Don't you understand that even a small compromise with sin permeates the entire fellowship? Just as a little leaven permeates a batch of dough, so remove every trace of your leaven of compromise with sin, so that you might become new and pure again. For indeed, you are clean because Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. So now we can celebrate our continual feast, not with the old leaven, the yeast of wickedness or bitterness, but we will feast on the freshly baked bread of innocence and holiness. So leaven is representative of sin and compromise with sin, but it also is linked with the teaching of the Pharisees. The false teaching of a religious system, okay? Having the sacrifices, you know, of animals that never can wash away sin, that never can make holy, okay? A religious system based on works or whatever other self stuff we have on the table in the house, in our house. So, I feel like the Lord wants to actually do a mighty work with his fire today, and we'll just have a few minutes. It doesn't have to take long. When the Lord moves in his power, he can do a quick work. But I want to invite everybody to come forward. Let's just all gather together right here in the front in the presence of the Lord and come to his table. Just come. Just come. The Lord has prepared a table of fresh baked bread for us to feast on this morning in his presence and in the presence of our enemies. Come. If you're dealing with some enemies, come and stand in the presence of the Lord and let him prepare a table before you. To give you the victory, let him anoint you with oil. Anoint your head with a fresh oil, with the anointing of Jesus Christ, the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. To set our hearts hot and aflame again with the fire of the Holy Spirit. He's coming with his zeal and his passion for each and every one of us this morning to do a work in us, to give us an upgrade. He wants to give us an upgrade and to cleanse this house, his house. Our house, his house. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. He just gave me an upgrade. See how quick he moves? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, so he's coming with his zeal, with his passion for each and every one of us right now to do a deep work of fire, of hot passion with the fire of his Holy Spirit to give us an upgrade and to cleanse his house. You know, sometimes we need a little help to kind of let go of some stuff that has taken up space. It's kind of like, you know, on your phone, it's like all of a sudden you run out of space and you had to delete some stuff in order to be able to upload some new stuff, okay? So if you need to get rid of anything and let go of something, delete something right now, just do some business with the Lord in his presence to let go of some things. If you feel like you need some help, just raise your hand and one of our, you know, altar workers, one of our leaders will pray for you. Don't be ashamed. Just keep it up, and we will come, and we will come. Just keep it up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And if there is any leaders, they're seeing hands up, if you want to just, you know, go ahead.
As we're moving into this time, I just want to encourage you. This is what I felt in worship, and revival starts with one person. History shows that revival starts with one person. And there's people in here that revival is bursting. But we're paying too close attention to the clock and the time. I'll sit in here all day with someone if they lay on the floor because the Holy Spirit won't let them get up. That's fine. I want to give you permission today to let the walls come down. Find your place with the Lord as she continues to minister to you. Let him touch you. Are you going to be the one that whatever it is, and this is the other thing, is that leaders would contend for one thing and one thing alone until they saw it manifest. I believe in this room there's at least whatever it is, 50 people, 100 people, however many is in here, that have been contending for something in their life that they're waiting to see breakthrough. Today is a day of breakthrough. Let the Lord make happen what he's already said yes and amen to. You partner with him right now in this moment.
Yes, so if there's anything that, you know, comes to your heart and to your mind again, that you feel like you need to let go, get rid of, any kind of bed bugs that have been bugging you, you know, anything you need to want to delete, you know, not just, you know, just literally delete to where it doesn't exist anymore, to make room for the new old things, you know, lies. You know, again, if you feel like you've been the victim, if you feel like you've been wronged and you're dealing with any kind of unforgiveness or any kind of offenses, that's the biggest bed bug ever that will bite and suck your blood. I mean, suck your life. So, you know, let's just, you know, release anything that comes to our hearts, to our minds, unto the Lord, to get rid of it, get it out the house, any leaven, any sin that we've compromised with. You know, there's no shame in the Lord's presence, you know. We just release it to you, Lord, Father, and we thank you for cleansing. We thank you, Jesus, that you have already washed away all of our sins. You've already made provision by your blood through your death and through the resurrection. We rise with you into high places, heavenly places, to be seated together with you in power and in authority. So we thank you, Lord, that we're going. Thank you for an upgrade of going to higher places. Also, you know, anyone that just feels like that you want to be his house of prayer and healing for all people, like the evangelism that he is calling us for, there is a place for this. You know, even if you've not been part of the evangelism class, but you feel like, oh gosh, I really want that. I want to be your house of prayer, and I want to experience the joy of being your house of prayer for healing for all peoples, for all nations. Receive that from the Lord today, because there is a new revelation and a new impartation and a renewed download which is working with this revival that he's bringing. So we just thank you right now, Father, just for, you know, that you're tearing down the old temple and the old mindset and the old system and the old structure, Lord, of that, you know, the church is the building. And Lord, you're giving us a completely new revelation right now, Lord, that we are the temple. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is your house. This is the zeal and the passion that you have for your house, Lord God, that we are your body. I am your body. You live in me. Your spirit lives in me, that we have fellowship with one another, that we commune and communicate and come into union with one another, that we are one, Lord, and that the kingdom of God is at hand, Lord. It's here. It's in me, and it works through me. And so, Father, we thank you, Father, just for this revival, Lord, of being your house. We're a walking house. We're a walking house everywhere we go. We are the house of God, and we're releasing the presence of God. We're releasing prayer of healing for the people that we come in contact with. So we just thank you, Father. Thank you for fresh fire like on the day of Pentecost, Lord. Fresh fire coming down from heaven, Lord God. Thank you for fresh fire setting our hearts ablaze, setting our hearts on fire, Lord, with passion and zeal for your house, Lord. It's passion and fire and zeal for the desire of your heart for all people, Lord. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you just needed to come and just feast on some fresh bread, just come and feast again. He's preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He's anointing our head with oil, with the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. Anything that's held us back, that's bugged us, that's agitated us, he's here today to bring freedom, to cleanse and to remove. And just receive the fire, receive the refining fire, receive the fuller soap, and allow him to raise you up to be that royal priesthood, the Levites, that bring sacrifices of praise and sacrifices of righteousness that are acceptable in his sight. So we just thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for this new impartation and this new place that you're leading us to, Lord. Thank you for your fire. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for your love, Lord. Lord, and we just thank you that you now fill our cup to overflowing, Lord. You fill our cup to overflowing and mercy and goodness. Your mercy and your goodness follows us all the days of our life. You overwhelm us with your goodness and your mercy again, even in the presence of our enemies, Lord God. We're going to gloat over our enemies. Our enemies are not going to gloat over us. We're going to sit in victory as we trust in you and fellowship with you and commune with you, Lord. Strength arises as we trust in you, Lord, as we wait on you. You are our refuge and our strength and our fortress. We abide under the shadow of your wings. We dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Hallelujah. We are yours. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am yours. We are yours. Come into your house. Come into your house. Welcome. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Come afresh into your house, fire of God. burn with your passion and your zeal, with your power. Empower us. Empower us. Empower us, Lord. You said you've given us power and authority, Lord, to go and preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to deliver those that are oppressed by the enemy, Lord. So we thank you for fresh power to go and be your house. Thank you, Jesus.